extended part of the New Hope family. And it's good to have you here today. And so as we worship today, we recognize that we are in the third week of Advent already. It is just flying by. I don't know about you, but it's such an amazing, exciting season to be in. And today we're going to continue with our service today and kind of make things going to be a little bit briefer today to be respectful of everyone's time this morning also. But as we do that, can I invite our ushers to please come forward today? If you're a guest with us today, we do not expect you or want to pressure you to give as a part of our worship today. This is for our members at New Hope. If God puts it on your heart to give, I want to ask you to be obedient to the Lord. But this is something that we do as an act of saying thanks to the Lord. And so as they come, I just ask God that you would bless what we give in this moment. Would you please multiply it in ways we don't understand and use it to help people know how much you love them in a variety of ways, from feeding the hungry to sharing the gospel around the world to helping people be able to just make it from one day to the next. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to partner with you and the work you're doing in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So as they receive our offering today, when I think of Christmas, well, let me just say if you probably asked a child, what are you hoping for this Christmas? What do you think they're probably going to respond and be focusing on? Toy. That's what I'm thinking, right? Like, what are you hoping for? I'm hoping that I get, you know. When you get to be a little bit older, sometimes that changes, you know, and you're like, what are you hoping for? It's like, well, I'm hoping when my doctor's report comes back, you know, or it's like, I'm hoping I get this job, or I'm hoping my pension comes through, right? Or I'm hoping that my benefits, I'm hoping for all, so on and so forth. And that's part of, you know, as you grow older, right, the things that we sort of hope and wish and desire sort of shift. But in the Christian church, we know that there is a kind of a specific focus that when we talk about hope, it's a little bit different. And before I get to that, let me share this trivia question with you. In the movie, thinking about hope, in the movie Christmas Story, what does Ralphie hope for? Throw that up on the screen here for us, if you would. There you go. Yeah, yes, you guys, you're getting it. So, yes. So, hit one more time the next slide. So, what I love it is, if you ever watch the movie, he says it so fast, you can barely understand what he says. And he says, right, says, I want a Red Ryder official Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range air rifle. There you go, right? You got it, right? He's like, and then what does Santa say back to him? We can work back and forth. That's okay. You'll shoot your eye out, kid, right? It's one of those, infamous quotes in a movie. I couldn't resist. I had to throw a little something in there, you know, today on that. You know, as I said already, in the Christian church, when we think of the word hope, we look at that and we define that a little bit differently. We think of hope being the expectation, expectant sort of confidence that we have the gift of eternal life with God because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world, was born and lived and went to the cross where he died. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead, right? So it's Easter. It's like you're getting your stories mixed up. Well, they all both go together. They complement each other. And so when we think of hope, we think of the hope of that eternal salvation that we know we have because of Jesus and not because of ourselves. And we fully believe that, as we heard Sandy already say this morning, that we're expecting that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Like, we fully have a confidence that that is the case. We believe it to be so. I thought today I would use a story that is not a really long one, but it's there in the, I almost want to call it the Christmas story, but now that I've used the movie, people are like, what are you doing? Are you quoting movies or what are you doing? But I want to go back to the story of Joseph and Mary when Joseph finds out that Mary is going to have a baby and he knows that it's not his kid. You know, if you ever, you know, part of that story, if you've ever heard that. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 20 through 24 is this story. And it's there that an angel of the Lord comes to speak a word to Joseph in a dream and gives him direction for what he really is supposed to do, what God wants him to do. And I thought I would kind of just use that story for a moment as I talk about something unique about prayer that's a gift for us. Now, I want to focus on that. I'm going to get to that. And so that's where we're going to end up. So I'll tell you where we're going. That's it. So here's the thing. Joseph finds out Mary's pregnant. He knows it's not his child. I can just only imagine the emotions that he is going through, the thoughts in his head, the chaos within him. He's certainly confused. How does this happen, right? If you're saying, like, no, you've been faithful. Like, I don't understand. How in the world could this be? He's got to be frustrated because in his culture, he had an idea, and so did his parents, of how his future was going to play out. And all of a sudden, that's changed. It's not going to be like that. So as far as he gets it, like when he moves forward, he's going to have this part of his story, right? That's going to be a part of how the community sees their marriage in him and Mary. And I got to think that he is somewhat disappointed that his life changed on him and he did not get an opportunity to speak his opinion on the matter. And he's discouraged. And I'm thinking his emotions are chaotic. His expectations are not met. And the story in the scripture tells us that Joseph was ready to walk away from Mary quietly and to just do life without her, take a whole nother path. And then this angel shows up, or, you know, speaks to Joseph. And here's the thing you want to understand about an angel. Like, I'm the expert on it, right? But when angels would speak to people, they would never speak their own opinion or their own ideas. It was always speaking what God had given them to say to whomever they were to go speak to. So we call them God's messengers. So if you got a message from an angel, then that's as though the Lord himself has given that to you, and you're to follow that. And if you don't follow that, that's like you're not following what God had told you to do, right? So they are his appointed messengers. So Joseph is getting this holy word from God, albeit in a dream, but it was this prayerful type experience that he has, one that was meant to foster hope and obedience in Joseph. And I see that when I look at what the angel told to Joseph. He says, don't be afraid. Take Mary home. Raise this child. Name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. See, the name Jesus, that's what it means, right? A savior. Like, he will save his people from their sins. Don't you like how God can say so much in one sentence? It's amazing, right? Like, if you know the context of the story or a little bit farther around the story, and even if you don't, I'm going to kind of give you a paraphrased version of it's the kind of the Andy Message Bible for a second, which I always be careful doing that. But I can't help but think about what the Lord is saying to Joseph without completely unpacking it. Joseph, I know the situation doesn't meet your expectations, and I know that no one has asked your opinion on the matter, and I know that you're frustrated because the rest of your life as you had planned it and saw it going is not going to play out that way for you. It's going to be different. And I know that you could walk away from this moment, but I'm inviting you to participate in what I'm doing in the world to bring salvation to the world through Jesus, my son. And I want you to be his earthly father. And I want you to name him Jesus, because when you name him Jesus and you call him Jesus, it will be because you know what his role is, that he will save his people from their sins. So I want you to live every day with hope, knowing exactly what he's going to do. God speaks to Joseph to foster hope in him for what God will bring to pass in the days to come. Joseph's heart is turned towards God in faith. He's listening to God. It's not how we might typically think of prayer, but there's some good similarities to that. I kind of like it. And the story says that Jesus takes her home. And if you know how the story plays out, then you know that Joseph stands there in that gap and he helps to raise Jesus, being his earthly father. Over 45 years of my life, I know I don't look it, looks way younger, but don't comment. Thank you. Most of you did not. That was very nice of you. Appreciate you. I will pay you on the way out. Just kidding. I have nothing to give you. Over the 45 years of my life, I have learned that life does not always go as you have planned it. That life can turn on a dime just like that, and you didn't see it coming. You didn't get asked about it, and it just changed on you. And talk about relevant right now. We think of just current events and how the tornadoes that rip through Arkansas and Tennessee, Kentucky, right? How their lives have been changed forevermore in one moment. And you probably can relate to them in the sense that you've had life change on you so quickly and you found yourself being confused. How did this happen? What went wrong? We're discouraged, frustrated, disappointed. Here all these families were looking forward to Christmas, and then all of a sudden, boom. Not that Christmas won't come, it will. But the way they expected to celebrate Christmas is not going to be there. It's going to be different. Hurt, angry, probably at points going to try to barter with God to change the circumstances that they find themselves in. And the bottom line is that the families are grieving, and they're going to grieve. Just like you and I, when life changes on us and we don't get any input on the matter, we grieve through that, don't we? We do. We absolutely do. And I've, over the years and looking at the scriptures, I have learned that when that type of experience happens in your life, that there is an enemy. And that enemy tries to engage, to distract us from what is really true. The enemy, that one that we call the devil, is very real. And the devil tries to derail, get us to be derailed in our faith so that we would quit. Just quit on Jesus. Write off God. And if he couldn't stop or change that for the better, what in the world makes you think that he can do this for you? And if you start to give in to that, it's not too long where you find yourself starting to lose hope. And the devil knows there's destructive power in doubt, so he really does try to get us to doubt God's power, doubt his promises that we read in the scriptures. He wants to encourage us to just wallow. You ever know what it's like to wallow in something, right? It's just to wallow in disappointment, to just sit there and that's the best facial I could kind of give you for that one. Just to wallow in the discouragement and in that sense of despair, maybe trying to creep in, the frustrations that are stepping onto your front doorstep, right? To even try to get you to sin against God in your anger. But here's where it turns. You see, yeah, the devil knows that. But we're not here to talk about the devil. We're here to talk about God. Because, see, the devil knows that, but God also knows what Jesus has done. And God knows what Jesus is going to do still. And God knows what the Holy Spirit is doing today in the world, in the hearts and the lives of people that trust in him and lean in to him. He knows that if you're faithful to Jesus, the devil can't have you. And I want you to know that. If you're faithful to Jesus, if you'll walk with your heart leaning into Jesus, you belong to the Lord and the enemy can't have you. You feel like, well, but he's doing a work on me. He may be trying, but he can't have you. because you belong to the Lord. But the devil would get you to doubt that that's actually true. Because if he's working on you, that must mean he's got you. Well, no, he don't. He's just trying to do a work he's not going to succeed in. But it's a work he's doing. The truth is, God knows that you have an eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. That in his great mercy, pull this verse up, would you, on the screen? This is too good. As the saying goes, right? We need to read this. Here, let me read this. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I love it. Come on, give me the next one. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So what I find is that God fosters hope in that promise, in that scriptural truth. And if it says it in the Word, it's true. It's coming to pass. It's being done today. It's in the works. And when we pray using the scriptures that tell us what God is doing for us in Christ Jesus, I find that God grows our hope in the Lord. Because it's not grounded in what we wish will happen. Man, I really want that carbine action Red Ryder. No, it's grounded in what God says has happened, is happening, and will happen. Amen. That's what it's grounded in. Why would he do that for us? So that our hope grows and it overflows in our hearts. So Peter talks about in Romans 15:13. He wants it to just overflow so that we're growing in this spiritual confidence, so that we're able to see what has changed in front of us and to go, you know what? I see it and I don't really care for it. I don't like it. I wish it was different. I wish they'd asked my opinion on the matter. But here's my deal. I am going to stand this moment, and I'm choosing today not to quit on Jesus, because I know what Jesus has done for me. I know that what he's keeping for me, because the Bible tells me that. And I know what he will do for me on the last day. And I know that he will see me through to the very end, because he says he will. He loves me, and he made a way for that to happen through Jesus Christ. I know that it's true. So it's not I wishfully desiring. I'm standing with an expectation that it's going to come to pass, because God said that it will. And if God said it, then it's got to come to pass, because he's a God who is truth, who always is faithful to honor his word. He is a just God. He can't go against his word. When he says it will be, it will be. Amen. You say, well, I thought we'd just celebrate a little baby. Well, that baby grew into a man who went to the cross to die for the sins of the world and be raised from the dead, so that everyone who calls on his name will never perish but have everlasting life. Woo! That's the true message of Christmas. We love Easter. But if there isn't a Christmas, I don't know that there's an Easter. So no matter where I'm standing today, it's okay, because I know where I'm standing with God. Do you wake up and go about your day? And I confess, I don't do this every day, but that sense, that faith that says, all right, day, here we go. I'm going to step into this day, and I don't know what I'm going to step into. Some of it might stink, but I'm going to step into it nonetheless. And when I step into it, it's okay wherever I'm standing, because I know where I stand with God. And were it all to fall apart and unravel all around me, I know where I will be standing with God. And that'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven, with all the saints and the angels and the church, the believers, the martyrs that have gone before me. I know where my home is. I know where I shall finally say it's done. And so therefore, my hope is in Jesus. And I'm going to say today, when I start this day, I choose to rebuke the devil's lies in the name, powerful name of Jesus, not my own authority, but in the authority of Jesus Christ. I trust in the Lord Jesus, and I'm holding on to him because I know that he's holding on to me. I know the devil's only working to steal, kill, and destroy, but you know what? Jesus is working for my good at every moment in my life. And so no matter where I stand, I wake up and my heart's overflowing with confidence, because I know what awaits me, and I know I can get through the day because the Lord promises He'll see me through the day to the very end of it. So when I lay my head on my pillow or I stand next to the Lord because maybe for some reason I didn't make it through this day and the Lord called me home, but either way, I know where I'm going to be standing. I'll be standing at peace with God. And I'll have joy in my heart, not because of my circumstances, but because of my Savior. That's where joy comes from. Today was the candle of joy. Because we recognize that the joy is not about what's happening out there. It's because of what has happened here, and because of what has happened in here, and because of what will happen on that last day. So I can overflow with an expectant hope in what lies ahead for me. Regardless of another human being, I still have hope. And I'm not sure where you are at in your life today and whether or not you have that sense of hope, right? That confident hope within you. Jesus can give you that. If you call on the name of Jesus Christ and believe on Him in faith, He is such a wonderful gift to give. And that is not just salvation, but peace and hope and joy into our lives. He gives us a wonderful, wonderful gift. There is no better way to have your hearts and your minds guarded than through focusing on Jesus in the Scriptures. I know it's like, what, are you going to start a whole other sermon? You just kind of nailed one. Like, it was really good. You, like, we're super proud. Can't you call it quits? Oh, by the way, for those of you that are guests with us today, I'm typically not, like, prideful like that. We just like to have fun. We don't take ourselves crazy seriously around here. We take our faith seriously, absolutely. We take Jesus seriously, but we don't always take ourselves so seriously. We like to have fun and laugh and smile, right, through our Christian faith because we believe it is something worth being joyful over, right? So that's what I kid around a little bit when I teach and when I preach. I just love Jesus, and I love what He's done, and I love what He's still going to do. And I love just seeing people who don't have hope find hope in Jesus. And I love people that don't know the love of God and they come to find the love of God and it changes their lives. I love it when that happens and it just makes me happy. And I love to be a part of that. And so thanks. But I can't give you the hope that God can give you. And so this Christmas season, the peace, hope, and the joy that I know God desires for you is only through Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus personally, I'd love to talk with you about that journey and that decision and belief because it's, I believe, the best decision you can ever make with your life. And I would love to be a part of just talking about that with you today or in the near future, okay? Can I ask you today if our worship team would come? They're going to just a couple songs kind of close us out, send us out on a joyful note this morning. And I would ask if you would you mind standing with us this morning? Kind of get the blood flow into the legs there. Father, I ask that you take the words that have come off of my lips and our thoughts today and the use of Scripture and the storytelling, and you just wrap it all together and speak to our hearts a word that you want us to hear personally. Would you translate all the things that I've said today, and by your Spirit, would you speak them uniquely into our hearts and minds and this journey of life that we're on. Speak to us. Remind us that you love us, please. And through Jesus, would you continue to grow and foster a sense of hope in us, and especially as we pray and focus on you and the Scriptures and a desire to be obedient to you, Lord. Amen.